SB Nation Radio here on 106.7 The Fan with Mike Pratt. I'm Scott Jackson. And follow us on Twitter at SB Nation Radio if you're not already doing so. And joining us right now, man, many people follow. On Frozen Blog is the site. I got the on in this time, Mike.
Yeah,
he is John Keeley with us here on SB Nation Radio this morning. How you doing, John?
Hey, Scott, Mike. It's great to be with you. Thanks for having me with you.
Hey, no problem. Capitals going through the road trip out west, that wild 7-6 win over the Ducks. Then, well, they do what they always do to San Jose, which is lose, especially out there. Not shocking results there. But you've had some interesting stuff on the blog about how you think maybe there needs to be a cultural change within the organization. Can you kind of explain to our listeners out there what you're talking about?
Well, really, there's two dynamics going on here, and I speak as a native Washingtonian, a guy that's followed this team literally since its first season. You know, when we were lucky enough to have that ping pong ball bounce our way, and we got Alexander Ovechkin, people like me said, you know what, this is the turning point for this franchise. I mean, we were the Chicago Cubs or the San Diego Padres of the NHL, but this was a special moment. I still think it's a remarkable moment, and maybe over the course of time here, we'll look back and say it was the greatest thing that ever happened to hockey in Washington. But, gosh, you know, 6 years into his career, he's no closer to winning a Stanley Cup than he was 3 years ago. And that's what really bothers me. And so I've been asking the question myself, especially the last couple of weeks, up in the Capitals press box with all these associates in new and traditional media that I really respect. You know, we're trying to get a handle on this. We just don't seem to be making the steps forward with this once-in-a-generation talent.
Right.
And I point to two things. One, their affiliate up in Hershey is a model organization for winning championships, and I'm not sure the Capitals have the type of relationship in terms of really absorbing what the Bears do season in and season out. I think they go their own way. I think there's a disconnect there. The other thing is just that, frankly, until they prove otherwise, there is a bit of a Capitals curse. They just the crest doesn't carry the meaning that it does in Montreal or Detroit. And the onus is on the 20 players putting that sweater on every night to do something about that. And what's been so discouraging about this season, guys, is we have not seen that urgency night in and night out.
That's actually a good time, I think, to run a theory by you that I've kind of been thinking. I know we've talked about this in the show. I feel like sometimes the collective Capitals fan base, not necessarily you or I or anyone, but just kind of this we that I guess I'll just use as we, sometimes it's almost like we want to eat it, have our cake and eat it, in that we, for a whole year, you know, the whole summer we cried, doesn't matter until April. And yet now they're struggling, and it's not April, and now we're really concerned. And I think sometimes maybe that attitude has kind of become pervasive among the team, that there's just not the mental focus or the preparation yet because it's not April, because everybody's been saying it doesn't matter what you do until April.
Well, you know what? I don't disagree with you, but here's where I would say the onus is on leadership, both behind the bench and with the guy wearing the C, not to let complacency come into that room.
Right.
You know, when I watched the Detroit Red Wings on a Tuesday night in February in Columbus, I see 20 guys who skate like it's the last game they're ever going to play. And I just wonder, you know, you need leadership is a couple of things. Leadership comes from the general manager on down. But leadership is a culture that's also established by your captain. And we probably should remember Alex Ovechkin is still a new captain. And so maybe he's still going through a learning process in terms of what that means. But I'm not sure that you could say to date that the Capitals have the leadership on all levels that they had, say, when Dale Hunter was captain, or when Steve Konowalczyk was captain, or when Rod Langway was captain. And that's, you know, there's consequences to that, I think.
I think you're onto something there, because when they made Alex Ovechkin captain, my first thought was they're just doing this to keep up with the Penguins. Well, because Crosby's a captain, Alex has got to be a captain. We've got to continue that rivalry going. We've got to fuel the NHL, wants this rivalry so damn bad. And obviously the Capitals, look, I'm like you. I grew up watching the teams. The first sporting event I went to in D.C. was the Caps, and nobody was at Capital Center.
Yeah.
And, you know, and you always had that feeling like no matter what happens, the Penguins are going to beat you in the playoffs. It's just that crappy feeling you always have, no matter if it's a 3-1 lead or whatever. But it almost felt like it was a forced situation, because as you point out, just because you're a talented hockey player or talented at anything doesn't necessarily make you a leader. And it appears he's not a guy who's comfortable, all that comfortable in front of the media all the time. That's a big part of it as well. I mean, was this a mistake to make him captain as quickly as they did?
Well, you know, you're asking the $64,000 question, and I'm a blogger with an opinion, and we all might agree on an answer here. I would offer you this reflection. And this is not just for hockey, but for all sure. professional sports. How many genuine top-of-their-field superstars are also effective captains? I'm not sure the number there is that great.
Right.
Now, Sidney Crosby is clearly an effective captain. He's got a gold medal. He's got a Stanley Cup. His leadership bona fides are unassailable. But I don't know if the Capitals felt pressure to make Ovi captain because Sidney was captain in Pittsburgh, and there is that rivalry. You know, it may well be that he's the right captain, but here and now, it doesn't quite look that way.
No.
And all we have to judge on are those on the ice results night after night. And you know what? I can accept losses when the guys go out there and they're throwing their bodies in front of pucks, and they're back checking and they're taking their man. I can accept effort losses. What I can't accept, and what I've seen too much of this season, are guys going out there with, and this is what I was getting at in my culture pieces this week, they seem to have an entitlement ethos. In other words, we are the 120-point Capitals from last year, therefore we're going to skate out onto the ice, and you're going to just defer to us. And that's kind of what I've observed fairly consistently this season. And see, that mindset, if I'm right, that has to be challenged by your captain.
We're talking to John Keeley from On Frozen Blog, talking about the Capitals and maybe a bet the culture needs to change. Now, you talked about your pieces. One of the things that you suggested were earlier practices, more bus rides, basically just in general getting tougher on the guys. Can you talk a little bit more about what you think needs to be done there and why you think that's going to help the team?
Yeah, I mean, one of the things I said from the get-go when I started this series was the Capitals today have a culture, an infrastructure that really is the envy of the league. They have the best, one of the best training facilities for hockey literally in the world. And, you know, there has been this remarkable growth in the love for hockey by Washingtonians precisely because of Alex and Mike Green and Nick Backstrom. But I'm not sure that the blocking and tackling that needs to be done to maintain that special bond and, more importantly, to earn the respect of your peers around the league, I'm not sure that's been done by this team. It certainly hasn't been done when it counts in the postseason. And so there's a lot of window dressing here, a beautiful facility, and we're rocking the red, and the guys and the coach are making funny television commercials. There are all the accoutrements of success except where it matters most. And to me, that speaks to a culture of entitlement, a culture of presumption. And, you know, guys, I go up to Hershey almost monthly, and the Hershey Bears are riding buses everywhere, and they're beloved by their community. And after every single Hershey Bears game, all those 20 guys come out of the arena, and they're swarmed by hundreds of their fans in the parking lot. And all of those Bears players spend an hour there, posing for photographs, signing autographs. They are immersed in that community. There's no airs or pretensions. And I just wish, and not to cast aspersions on individual Capitals here, but you know, there are all of these tangible symbols of achievement, and they just don't match the on-ice achievement.
John Keeley's with us on Frozen Blog here on 106.7 The Fan. It's SB Nation Radio. Well, what you just described is the difference between minor league and professionals. I mean, bottom line is the Capitals could take buses if they wanted to, then all of a sudden they're not an attractive place for free agents. I don't even know, quite frankly, with the NHLPA, if that's even allowed.
to tell you the truth. Yeah, well, one of the points I made was not all that long ago, it was common for the Capitals to bust their games, but that was when they were in the Patrick Division and they were playing the Flyers and the Penguins and the Rangers and the Devils and the Islanders. They still play those teams, as I pointed out in the article. And I just think it would be interesting just to sort of break up the routine a little bit, get them out of this first-class charter kind of culture, you know, a half dozen times a year. It's an idea. It was meant to provoke a dialogue and to just try to put a little bit of specificity, if I'm right, about this cultural institution that's here. It's not certainly one of the more important points. The more important point is, does this team have the right leadership? And did George McPhee, last summer, while a lot of teams in the Eastern Conference were gaining ground on him by making key acquisitions, did he stand pat? And
right.
I would answer, yes, he did. And that, too, maybe it's bred of a little bit of arrogance. Hey, we had 120 points.
Sure.
A hot goalie took us out in the first round.
Right.
And you know what? If you're not getting better in the offseason, be assured that your competition is, and that's what we have seen this season as well.
No doubt about it. Now, final thing for you. Do you think the style change is going to pay dividends, and do you think it was the right move?
Or if there was a style change
Or if
at
there
all.
Was, yeah, well.
Well, I mean, there clearly was beginning in December. Bruce Boudreau was trying to convey to his team that a different ethos in terms of defensive hockey had to take hold. I think he went too far with the trap system. Now there's some sort of hybrid on it. Maybe they're not even certain about what they're supposed to be playing.
Right.
Some nights it looks like the players are genuinely confused about assignments and what they should do. Do we attack? Do we back? And, you know, to me, there is a personnel that was drafted by George McPhee, a personnel that was refined over the last 3 or 4 years, and it is a personnel that I think reached its peak last year with 120 points, and management seems to have abandoned that almost out of desperation, and I think this team ought to play fire wagon hockey. They've got better goaltending, and they've got a better blue line. Go back to what got you 120 points. Roll the dice in the postseason. That's what I'd like to see. It would be the most entertaining thing for fans if you're going to charge them $100 a ticket.
Sure.
But I also think it is their nature. And their nature is not to play like the New Jersey Devils or the Minnesota Wild. And I'm fearful that this team now, as it gets closer to the postseason, is basically confused about what system they're supposed to be playing.
All right. Hey, great stuff, John. John Keeley, again, the website on Frozen Blog. Appreciate it. Great insights, and enjoy your weekend. Thank you.
Hey, thanks for having me.
All right, John Keeley with us. Thanks to him. Thanks to Michael Katz, SB Nation, DC columnist. Thanks to Stephen Yonda from The Washington Post. And thanks to you, Mike Prada, from SB Nation.
And I apologize for correcting you in the last segment. I should not
hey,
have done
it won't
that.
Be the first time I get corrected all day at home.
Please no correct me next show.
All right, well, it won't
even
be
if
hard.
There's nothing to correct.
Well, it won't be hard. All right, be sure to check out the website, SB Nation DC. Great stuff on there all the time. And check us out on Twitter at SB Nation Radio. Thanks to Othello for all the behind-the-scenes work. I'm Scott Jackson for Mike Prada here on 106.7 The Fan.